stories and voices that are intertwined, connected by one thread, building internet and communication community networks. Hello, this is me again, Renata Porto. I'm from Brazil, and I'm leading you through this 12-episode season around community-led initiatives on internet and communication. And we've reached the last episode of our series. The story I'm about to tell you is going to inspire you on how community-led networks are essential and possible when different people get involved. For that, we will travel with me to Nairobi, Kenya. We are going to meet James Guo from the Arid Lands Information Network, ALIN.
For us, we start with the people, the people's needs. Whether they are few in some isolated place, those are the people we want to bring to the digital inclusion.
You will also get to know Kathleen Diga, speaking straight from Durban, South Africa. She is the co-lead for the Local Networks Initiative and staff member at the Association for Progressive Communications, APC.
Today, I think we can celebrate the fact that we are a growing network of grassroots communities who are filling the gap of community-centered connectivity.
So join me on the last journey of our season.
Routing for Communities, an audio journey tracing community connectivity around the world.
Since we started this podcast production, our team kept hearing from specialists that Kenya was an emblematic case to better understand how a regulation and legislation ecosystem is so important to community networks. As a matter of fact, we've already talked about Kenya on episode 2 about TunaPandanet. If you haven't listened to yet, here is another invite. So in this episode, we decided to talk a little bit more about this country.
Hello, James.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, and sorry about my technology mix-up. I was trying on the podcast again, then finally I got this link.
James Guo lives in Nairobi, Kenya's capital, a city with over 4 million inhabitants. The country has a total of 53 million people. Nairobi is considered cosmopolitan and vibrant, but it's also marked by huge social and economic disparities, with a large number of urban clusters. And in the rural areas, such inequalities are even more evident in Kenya, especially in almost completely arid and semi-arid lands.
The Kenya's agricultural potential has been low, with productivity reported to be on a gradual decline. Paul Thiong'o tells us more.
About 80% of Kenya's population lives in rural areas, with half of this proportion being poor. The rural population mainly depends on small-scale agriculture for food and income, suggesting that smallholder agriculture remains the major engine of rural growth and livelihood improvement for any pathway that can lift large numbers of rural poor out of poverty.
ALIN works especially with the country's rural population.
My name is James Guo. I'm the director of ALIN, or Arid Lands Information Network, based in here in Kenya, working across East Africa. We work strategically on three strategic objectives. The first one is climate resilience, where we support communities to mitigate the effects of climate change and have adaptation measures in place. Then we touch on agriculture productivity because it is affected by what is happening in the environment. But most important, and what ALIN is known for a long, long time, is digital transformation, supporting communities to embrace and take up the power of information and communication technologies by deploying solutions that enable people in the rural areas especially to appreciate the power of technology, use technology solutions to advance their businesses, social enterprises, civic participation, education, agriculture, among others.
Besides Kenya, Alin works in other neighboring countries, such as Tanzania and Uganda. In fact, Alin started off working the whole continent, being established by different organizations in 1987. In 2011, it was officially registered as a non-governmental organization in Kenya. One of Alin's main initiatives was to edit and publish a magazine about agrarian topics called Baobab, named after one of the most important trees of Africa. The magazine is still thriving, and it was from Baobab that the work with community networks emerged. From the early 2000s, the network started to work alongside the now-defunct WorldSpace, an American organization. Through satellite technology, it provided access to radio internet. Using such technology, Alin members started to access Baobab issues online and other content.
By that time, around 2000, way into 2004, connectivity was not even being an issue discussed in the rural areas because the mobile connectivity was not even available. There were mainly fixed telephone lines, and Alin filled that gap by deploying internet radios from WorldSpace. And that is where Alin started the groups that we call focal groups that finally came to be known as access points. Access point is where you'd find Alin presence with at least one computer, and we'll go up to a maximum of five, and the community members trained on the operations of these computers and downloading of the content using that special radio. It's at that point then we brought other content providers from across the sectors so that they could use the portal that Alin was given by WorldSpace to be able to disseminate information to their people on the ground, who included scientists, extension workers, you know, many other development workers. It was an exciting moment for us.
Over time, the establishment of access points began to be expanded to various Eastern African countries, such as Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania. These computer centers were then called Maarifa, which means knowledge in Swahili. Community volunteers, as well as universities, started to be trained to work in these centers. They developed projects on access to information based on new information and communications technologies, the so-called ICTs. Over the last two decades, Alin has worked on a series of projects with international partners. It has also won a number of awards and recognition for reaching rural communities using the Maarifa Center model. And that is how Alin's work could expand with the creation of dozens of connectivity centers every year, besides projects to educate and include younger generations. These were the paths that led Alin to work with community networks. In July 2023, Alin was able to get one of the first approvals from Kenya's regulatory agencies. It obtained a license to implement a community network in the Rift Valley region. From that moment on, they have been raising funds to create community networks. According to James, the idea is that one of the Maarifa centers grows and becomes a community network, and they are extremely excited about the prospects.
Alin has gotten approval from the regulator, who is the communication authority, to deploy a community network in a place called Sipili. Sipili is 4 hours out of Nairobi in the northern direction into the Rift Valley. It's a rural setup, a small town of about 3,000 traders, but over 100,000 people mainly engaged in farming. Many of these people are involved in subsistence farming because they are growing food for their own consumption. They keep animals, and the area is a bit dry, so issues around climate change affect them in a big way. But they are very hardworking people because they build water dams, water ponds for their animals, and they use the same for irrigation. And actually, they are able to produce a lot of food compared to many areas here in Kenya. So we've walked a long journey with this community. It's a community that relies a lot on the power of information and knowledge. So they are excited that they will have a network that is going to facilitate them not only in their own agricultural practices, in education, entertainment, and civic participation.
The Licensing and Shared Spectrum Framework for Community Networks was published in Kenya in 2011. It seeks to regulate public networks in a country's communities, offering primarily Wi-Fi services. One of its main goals is to guarantee economic accessibility and to improve service efficiency via community networks, especially in relation to internet connectivity. The framework recognizes and establishes the distinction between community and private operators, according to their size and reach. In other words, for the communities, licensing projects must be simplified and be accessible, given their realities. We celebrate Alin for being issued one of the first community network licensed under the new framework. To sum up, the resolution brings in the establishment of another separate regulatory model for community networks. Thus, it seeks to create a better environment in a country for initiatives promoting internet access in marginalized or forgotten areas. Regions where commercial operators are not interested in reaching once they are deemed unprofitable. What the Communication Authority of Kenya does is to recognize the value and importance of community networks, especially with rural populations, impoverished urban communities, and other traditional communities in a country.
The main challenge, of course, is like any other player, the main networks will want to deploy their network where they will realize gains in terms of commercializing their own businesses. And for us, we start with the people's needs. Whether they are few in some isolated place, those are the people we want to bring to the digital inclusion, irrespective of whether it makes economic sense or not. To us, if we can deploy a network that can be self-sustaining, we charge a small fee that we plow back into the network for, you know, sustainability. That is what we'll be looking at.
And after going to Kenya, now we're off to Durban in South Africa. This is the home of our second guest for this episode.
My name is Kathleen Diga, and I am the co-lead for the Local Networks Initiative. And I am from the Association for Progressive Communications. I am based here in Durban, South Africa. So the Local Networks Initiative is a collective effort between APC, Rizomatica, and several partners that are based in the Global South. And really the ultimate objective is to create an enabling environment for community networks or community-centered connectivity initiatives, and largely in the Global South. So it's enabling, whether it be through creating peer exchange, learning, through policy, through local innovation, through gender. We really try to look at a holistic view of how to bring communities that work at the grassroots level together and to be able to enable their community needs through community connectivity.
Kathleen is part of APC, which alongside other organizations such as Kenya ICT Action Network and local communities, contributed to the process of discussing and providing technical support for Kenya's Communication Authority. And they could count on the support in their initial stage from 2020 to 2021 so that they could develop community network licensing. This joint effort contributed towards the analysis of topics to make sure different licensing categories are in fact accessible to community and network organizations. For example, at the moment, non-profit community networks as well as co-ops can request a specific license with an initial $10 fee and subsequently $50 fee per year. Another example is present in the strategic plan for Kenya's proposed Universal Service Fund. According to the plan, the country's regulatory agency will support the development of 100 community networks in the next 5 years.
Kenya has been exemplary in terms of the space of collective action and policy. Kenya has been an interesting example of operationalizing community networks through their new, relatively new community network licensing framework. This new framework is intended to see communities be able to overcome some of the bureaucratic and very expensive fees of connectivity, of being a licensee, and be able to do so as a small-scale operator. I would say that what we are, however, learning is that for these communities, the processes are new, and they certainly require a lot of accompaniment. So what we've seen our partners on the ground in Kenya do is that working with communities through stakeholder meetings between themselves and the Communication Authority of Kenya, the Kenya partners have also been seen to value the idea of mobilizing together and being a collective. They have established their own association for community networks in Kenya. And I believe that in this unified voice, they will be able to help facilitate a singular message between civil society or communities and the government.
We know there is a long way ahead of us in the development of community-led networks, and yet Kathleen argues that there have already been victories worth of celebration.
Today, I think we can celebrate the fact that we are a growing network of grassroots communities who are filling the gap of community-centered connectivity. I believe that these networks now have an understanding and knowledge of the communities that are working in the similar field as them, who are indeed trying to meet the community needs, specifically around communication. And I think the network's also helping them to find partnerships and see through the goals of their constituents. I would want to refer to, you know, I'm based in South Africa, this one local language, you know, word, Ubuntu, and it means, you know, I am because we are. We are a collective of change makers. And I think it's this universal bond of sharing and exchange that's connecting us and humanity. So I really do think in the digital inclusion space, I would say the broader or this global network of actors have a role to play to ensure that we bring the voices and perspectives of marginalized communities to the front, and particularly those from the global south.
These communities are the protagonists in the process of connecting themselves locally or by internet. They also bring in an important reflection about how and why we want to be connected in the first place. And we have reached the end of this episode, as well as this podcast's first season. Today, you could learn more about the Arid Lands Information Network, ALIN, in Kenya, as well as the Local Networks Project. If you want to know more about these initiatives, access the links in the description of this episode on your podcast streaming platform. Over there, you also have access to Kenya's licensing and shared spectrum framework for community networks. Throughout the season's 12 episodes, we got to know the many stories on community networks and of those who take the lead in these processes together with different communities. Here, we've seen experiences in which connectivity walks hand in hand with the fight for other rights, gender and race equality, education, indigenous cultures, environmental justice, and many others. Such diversity of experiences is gathered in one common message about the need to create human and digital networks that are based on the construction of a viable future for all. A time in which rural, remote, and marginalized communities have the opportunities, capacities, and resources to achieve and shape meaningful community-centered connectivity that contributes to the strengthening of local well-being economies and cultures. If you've liked this podcast, please recommend it to those you know will appreciate it as well. You can check out the season on the main podcast platforms or on APC's website, routingforcommunities.apc.org. You listen to the 12th episode of Routing for Communities, an audio journey tracing community connectivity around the world. This is the podcast of the Local Networks Initiative, a collective effort led by APC and Rizomatica. Production, Rádio Tertúlia. In today's episode, you listen to audio excerpts from KTN News Kenya. Thanks for joining me throughout the season of the podcast. See you next time.